Quiet. They'll hear you.
What are you doing?
I implore you, if you value your life, please keep it down.
Sorry.
Thank you. What are you doing?
We're supposed to be telling the kids' Christmas story here, Nick.
Gwen, that's what I'm trying to do. Why don't you ever just play along with my ideas?
I don't even know what your idea is.
Oh. You're right. Okay, I have this idea for the kids' Christmas story this year. It's good, Gwen. It's really good. It's bigger than just here tonight. Listen, I was thinking about the Christmas story, and I realized that it has all the makings of a great action film. Mm. It's got intrigue, action, royalty, and a love story, right? It's got everything, Gwen. It would be perfect. So, take a looky here at what I was thinking. Mission Impossible. The Christmas that almost wasn't.
Sounds interesting. Tell me a little bit more.
Okay, well, as I thought about the Christmas story, I noticed lots of what I like to call near misses. So I kept thinking over and over again, tons of them, I kept thinking, what if this didn't happen? Or what if this person didn't do this down here? Or this person didn't do this? One little change, Gwen. One little change and bam! Everything's different. No Jesus, no Savior, no Christmas, no church. Gwen, if you really think about it, it'll blow your mind.
So is that what happened to him?
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Okay, so tell me a little bit about the plot. This sounds really fascinating.
Okay, so we open up scene one. God calls Gabriel on a mission.
Okay. Gabriel. Your mission...
Is that what God sounds like? Is that what he talks like? God?
Work with me, Gwen.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'm not going to interrupt again. Go.
Okay. Gabriel, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to travel to a young virgin in Nazareth. You are to tell her that she is to be the mother of the Savior of the world.
Okay. Yeah, I'm tracking.
Okay. So, then Gabriel looks back at God and he's like... You know what, God? That's really not a very good plan. I mean, I could go, but tell her. But she's just not going to believe me. She's just this young girl. She's not married. There's really no way she could possibly be having a baby. It's just not going to work, God. You got another plan?
Yeah, except that didn't happen. I mean, I can understand you taking artistic liberties with the story, but that is flat out opposite of what happened. Think about this. God created angels, amongst other things, to be his messengers. Right? They weren't the brains of the operation. They weren't calling the shots. They were created to be the most perfect reflection of God's greatness and glory. So Gabriel didn't talk back to God or question God. He was like, yeah, I'll go. And he went and saw Mary and delivered the good news. So the whole idea of mission impossible, I don't know if I'm buying it.
Okay, that's really good feedback.
Thanks.
That's good feedback. I appreciate that. So what we're going to do, why don't we just tweak the title a little bit and see if we can't make this work.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Mission nearly impossible. The Christmas that almost wasn't.
Well.
Scene two. Mary, she's just hanging out, chilling, maybe watching a little Hannah Montana, right? And suddenly she gets an IM from Gabriel.
Okay.
Hey, girl, what's up? God sent me with some great news. You're going to have a baby. Mary's all like, laugh out loud. And Gabriel's like, I'm serious. And so Mary's like, I don't know how that could even be possible. And Gabriel says, just to let you know, God's got all the details worked out. By the way, you have to name him Jesus. All right?
Yeah.
So then Mary, she gets this and she starts wigging out. She's like, sorry, to be honest, in my point of view, that's not going to work. Got to go now. End of message.
Right. Except you can't just change everything that everybody in the story did. Mary didn't do that at all. She was more like, hey, yeah, consider it done. You know, the Bible says Mary was highly favored among women. God chose Mary because he knew her character. Same thing goes for Joseph. He chose these people.
Yes, he did.
Right.
But still, she may have changed her mind and decided not to do it.
I think you're missing the point. These were the people God chose. Now, it might have been difficult. I'm sure it was difficult what he was asking them to do, but it wasn't impossible. And, you know, God was involved, so nearly impossible. I don't know if I'm buying that either. Sorry.
Well, I'm an artist. I am an artist, so I can take criticism.
Okay.
So what we're going to do, we'll change the title again, And I think this is gonna do it right here. Mission, not impossible, but not easy either.
Hmm.
The Christmas that almost wasn't.
Okay.
Scene 3, Mary and Joseph arrive in Bethlehem. But what if, when they get there, the city is like mad crowded? There's people everywhere, just like these kids are lined up, and there's some event going on in the city, and no matter where you go, there's just people upon people, and they're trying to find a place to stay, but there's no rooms anywhere. They can't find anywhere to stay. And suddenly, Mary goes into labor. She's like, and then they're looking for a place to stay, but there's nothing, and so they have to sleep in like a barn or something, and that's where they have the baby.
Hmm. Right. Hey, Nick, have you ever read the Christmas story in the Bible?
Sort of. See, I bought this speed reading program off an infomercial.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's really good. It works really well. What you do is you read the first, third, eighth, and 42nd word of every paragraph, if applicable.
Okay.
And then with all the other words, what you do is you just skim them, omitting the vowels. Because did you know that your brain doesn't even need the vowels to understand the meaning?
I did not know
that. It really is cool. You can read any story in a 16th of the time. Hmm. It was the best 17 payments of $14.99 I have ever spent,
really?
Ever in my life.
Really?
Yes, it totally works.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find that very interesting. Because that's what happened. There's no what ifs about that part of the story. There was a big event going on. There was a big census, so everybody had to go to their hometown to be counted. Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem. When they got there, the city was mad crowded. There was no room in the inn. Baby Jesus had to be born in a barn. They laid him in a manger. You know, like that song, Away in a Manger. You know?
Yeah, that's where that song came from.
Right, yeah. But that wasn't a surprise to God.
Wow.
He had that all planned out all along.
I get it now.
Totally planned.
So what I hear you saying is that you want me to change the title again, don't you?
I would if it was my movie.
Okay, well, let's give this another shot. I think we're going to get a good one on this one. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Mission, not impossible, because God planned it all. The Christmas that almost wasn't.
Hmm.
Scene 4.
Okay.
Baby Jesus has been born.
Right.
Outside of Bethlehem, there's these fields, and in the fields are these shepherds, and the shepherds are watching their sheep. When suddenly, the sky is filled with angels. Or is it?
Hmm.
What if?
No. It wouldn't work. They would have come. We've already talked about the nature of angels. They would have showed up. They would have. Sorry.
Okay. So suddenly,
okay,
the sky is filled with angels. But what if the shepherds thought they were seeing things? Maybe they thought they made up a bad batch of chimichangas or something. And so they decide not to go to see the baby Jesus. And they decide not to spread the good news. And so baby Jesus is born. But so what? What's the big deal? It's just all this anticipation. And then I'm melting. Melting. Oh, what a world. Fizzle.
Right. Except that it didn't happen like that. But Nick, I think you're missing the point. Even if it did happen like that, it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered. It would have been someone else. The good news about Jesus can't be contained. I'm not buying the whole Christmas that almost wasn't thing, because this was God's plan since before the beginning of time. He knew when he was going to send his son. He knew where he was going to send his son. He knew all of the key players and what their responses would be before he even created the world. So I guess what I'm saying is, this was God's mission. God's mission to save his people. And when God is on a mission, nothing is impossible.
You done yet?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, I'm going to change this title one more time.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, this is the last time. Okay, here we go. Mission, not impossible. Because God planned it all.
Hmm.
The Christmas that was, but wouldn't have been, if anyone other than the God who created the universe was in charge. What do you think of that?
I think that is accurate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I also think it's not very catchy. And I think it's kind of long. It wouldn't fit on a movie marquee. And, I mean, Nick, don't you think it kind of defeats the purpose if the mission was not only possible, but it went off just as planned as God had planned it, like, since before the beginning of time? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're right.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Gwen, man, Jean, for crushing all my hopes and all my dreams.
Yeah, well, I'm your wife. That's my job. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
You can go back to your seat.
All right, you chipmunks. Ready to sing your song?
I'll say we are. Yeah, let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon?
Okay.
Okay, Theodore?
Okay.
Okay, Alvin? Alvin!
Okay!
Webkinz?
Tell me what a Webkinz is.
It's an animal that you log on online and you get a password and a username and you can play with it.
Really? That sounds like a lot of fun.
And you have money and you can make a room for it and feed it and dress it. And you get trading cards and charms and you can go to the charm forest and find other charms and get charm candy. That's a Webkinz.
Wow.
A Spider-Man 3 laptop.
What color would you?
I want a candy cane and a princess one.
I wanted to get Chicken Little for Christmas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Chicken Whittle. But we have Spirit Whittle. Yeah.
You know what else I want? Is something that's really cool that's on the list.
It looks so cool. It's just so cool.
Sounds cool.
A monkey.
A dollhouse.
A dollhouse? For you?
No.
Yeah, you're too big, huh?
I already got a Barbie house that's big enough for me to walk inside.
Maybe like a scooter.
Money. I'll tell you what I need.
Maybe some pictures.
What?
Maybe me.
Maybe a gun that sees a boy.
A what?
A gun that sees a boy. A toy gun. Yeah.
Hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate? How much?
If he doesn't have a bed, give him a bed.
Telephone.
Computer.
A United States flag.
A Wii. They're really popular.
Alvin, you were a little flat. Watch it. Alvin. Alvin!
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Well, obviously the kids don't think I'm patriotic enough since apparently I need a gun and an American flag. So hopefully we'll get that corrected this Christmas. So, well, it's so good to have you here and that you joined us on this Christmas Eve evening. As we do every week, our ushers are going to come forward and give us a chance just to continue to trust God with our finances and partner on this mission that we're on. And so if you came prepared to give, invite you to go ahead and to do that now. I want to let you know what I'm going to do is I just want to take about 10 minutes and share with you some thoughts. And so I just want to put you at ease if you're worried about your kids moving around or talking. You know, I've got two young boys, and so I'm used to lots of noise, and I'm used to lots of movement, so it doesn't bother me in the least. And two, in some of their bags that you got, there might be some coloring sheets and some things like that. If you want to keep them, if that would help, feel free to utilize those. The last couple weeks, we've been in a series of teachings here in our community where what we've been doing is looking at the kingdoms of rulers like Herod and Caesar, who were reigning during the time when Jesus was born into the world. And so we've spent time exploring what those kingdoms looked like and discovering how they were all marked by this sense of greed and accumulation and manipulation and this dominance by force. And so we've contrasted that with the kingdom that Jesus ushered into the world with his birth. This kingdom that rather was marked by things like peace and humility and selflessness and sacrificial love. And so one of the things that we've been asking as a community the last couple weeks is, what would it look like this Christmas for us to actually enter into the Christmas story? How do we actually enter into this story? And what's it look like for us to give in such a way that it actually reflects and points back to the kingdom and the coming of Jesus? Rather than getting caught up in, you know, the kingdoms that so many of us can get caught up in this kingdom of accumulation and this practice where so many of us will spend, myself included, all this time trying to find all these different types of random gifts and spend all these, you know, all sorts of money on mediocre presents for people that we hardly even know. And so that, and then once everybody passes them out, everybody pretends to like their gift bag of Old Spice or their, you know, Chia Pet, and everybody smiles and like, oh, how did you know? And, you know, all this stuff that we can get caught up in. But rather, we've been asking, what would it look like if we gave in such a way that it reflected the coming of Jesus? What if we gave gifts in such a way that it actually brought hope to people's lives? What if we gave gifts this Christmas in such a way that it brought peace and reconciliation to relationships? What if we gave gifts in such a way that it brought joy, real joy, into people's lives? Now, one of the things that we need to understand is that certainly sometimes that involves spending money on gifts, as many of us do. But what we often fail to realize is that sometimes the most costly gifts and perhaps even the most valuable gifts are gifts that very often are never purchased with money. There's a prophet, scripture writer in the Old Testament who prophesies hundreds of years before Jesus was born into the world named Isaiah. And he writes this, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." You see, the story of Christmas has never been about God giving us stuff. It's always been about God giving us himself. It's about giving relationally. But yet that's so hard for so many of us to grasp. Maybe you grew up with a parent who was filled with all sorts of guilt because they felt like they never measured up, or they felt like they weren't around as much as they'd like to be. And so to compensate for that, what they did is they bought you all sorts of stuff. They bought you all sorts of things. They handed you money. And, you know, for a while you're like, man, this is great. Thanks. And you kind of lived that up. But after a while, something changed. And you began to realize what you really wanted was a mom. What you really wanted was a dad who hung out with you, who spent time with you, who gave of themselves relationally. And maybe that same pattern has trickled down into your own life and it's translated into the way that you give. And so you find yourself running around burdened with all sorts of guilt, trying to get presents for other people, spending all sorts of money on things that don't really even make sense because you're burdened by this, the sense of guilt. Maybe you're not the kind of spouse that you hoped that you would be, or the kind of parent that you wish that you were. And so rather, maybe than us giving all these types of gifts that we spend all sorts of money on, what if we began to realize that perhaps the gift that would be desired most is a gift of ourselves? Maybe it was an apology to someone where there's been tension and stress for way too long. An apology that would bring peace and reconciliation to a relationship. Perhaps what's needed most is maybe just a letter, handwritten, expressing how much you respect them, how much you appreciate them, how much you care about them or so thankful for them in your life. Maybe what's desired most is just a gift of yourself, where you take some time off, maybe you take a vacation and you leave the cell phone behind or the laptop behind or the PDA and you say, you know what, I'm going to give of myself. And so maybe tonight, if nothing else, kind of just makes a line in the sand for you that says, you know, no matter what gifts that we give over the next, you know, few days and whatever we open up tonight or tomorrow or in the days to come, that you just make this resolution that you say, you know what, I'm going to figure out a way this Christmas to give of myself relationally as well, in addition to the gifts that I already have. I'm going to figure out, what does it look like for me to be present among my friends and my family? What's it look like to give them my full attention? What's it look like for me to listen, to genuinely be interested in their lives and find ways to serve them? What's it look like to be intentional about celebrating Christmas in a way that actually points to the story of how God gave to us. Yet contrary to how many of us believe that we're supposed to think, especially in the church, you see, Christmas isn't only about giving. You see, Christmas, just as importantly, is about receiving. Now, sometimes that gets twisted in our mind because when we think about receiving, our mind immediately jumps to, you know, people in the holidays that abuse that and who make it all about them and all about what they can get for themselves. And there's definitely dysfunction and health in that. But one of the things I've realized is that there's just as much spiritual dysfunction and unhealth in those who make their life only about giving. You see, some of you, that's what you do. You give all the time. You take care of everyone else's kids. You know what? You're the first one to volunteer. You're the first one to say yes. You're the first one to bring a meal. And yet when someone offers to take care of your kids, when someone offers to bring you a meal, you consistently turn them down. Some of you work on everyone else's house and everyone else's car for free. And you work on all these other projects for other people. And yet when someone asks you and says, hey, I'd like to help you, and they offer that, then your pride won't let you. And so you try to be polite, but you say, no, I'm okay. I don't need any help. You see, what happens is you give and you give and you give. But the reality is you don't receive well. And for many of us that struggle with that, we like to justify it by calling ourselves a servant, or we like to just think of ourselves as a giver. And we say, you know, that's just who I am. I just love to serve people. But see, the reality is the reason that many of us who struggle with that love to give is because when you give, you're the one that's in control. See, when you're the giver, you're the one who's calling the shots. But to receive well requires a certain level of vulnerability. To receive well requires a certain measure of humility. This willingness to surrender control to someone else. And so many of us fight against that. And so many of us, while we might not admit it, find it much easier to give than it ever is to receive. And that's the very reason why many of us continually stay distant from God, year after year after year. In the Christmas story in the book of Luke, an angel appears to the shepherds out in a field. And the angel makes this announcement. The angel says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now that's key. We got to get that. It says for all the people. It doesn't say I bring you good news for good people. I bring you good news for some people. It doesn't say I bring you good news for people that do the right things. It doesn't say I bring you good news for people that are moral people or for people who show up to church when they're supposed to and do all the right things. No, it says I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. There's no qualifiers there. It says today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior, a rescuer, a liberator. He is Christ the Lord. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. You see, one of the key things we have to notice in that text is who it says the glory goes to. Because if we don't get this, it really affects so many aspects of our lives. It says the glory goes to God. And the reason is because this incredible gift of Jesus and all that he comes with, forgiveness of sins, and that he comes with grace and he comes with his presence that results in a transformed life, none of that was motivated by anything that you or I have done. The gift of Jesus has absolutely nothing to do with our performance, but rather it's completely motivated by simply who God is, his goodness, his love. The story of Christmas is all about what God has done. But you see, if we don't let that sink in into our reality, into the mindset that we live every single day with, that the gift of Jesus, that the gift of God, his favor on us has absolutely nothing to do with our performance. If we don't let that sink in, we'll never have the peace that the angel says is given to us. Peace on earth. And whom God's favor rests. To men, to people, to you and I. You see, we'll never have peace. And the reason we never have peace, and so many of us live in this reality, is because we live in this constant anxiety that we think what God thinks about us is determined by our performance. Whether or not we do the right things or say the right things, or if we've been wrong on God's good side, and if we, you know, have done some bad things or haven't shown up to church as much as we think that we should, then we're kind of on God's bad side. And we think it has to do with our performance and what we do and how God thinks about us. And so we never have peace. We only have anxiety because we think it really depends on us. But you see, the miracle of Christmas is that God gave himself relationally to the world, not because we deserved it, not because we earned it. Had nothing to do with us. It was simply because he loved us. And so as a result, we're invited to receive the very gift of God himself. Now, unfortunately, sometimes that gets presented as some type of impersonal spiritual transaction that takes place, where you follow some sort of religious formula, and then after you follow the formula, you can be sure of where you go after you die. But understand, the gift that God offers to us is so much more than a punch ticket or so much more than a get out of jail free card. What God invites us to receive is this ongoing, mystical life transformation of his presence and his and a relationship with himself. And so perhaps this Christmas, I'd want to invite you to reflect on another question besides simply asking, have I received the gift of Jesus? And understand, that's an important question and a critical question that we certainly all need to ask. But perhaps this Christmas, you begin to also wrestle with another question that all of us would begin to wrestle with and ask. And that is, how am I receiving Jesus? Not just have I received him, but how am I receiving the gift of Jesus? And we would ask ourselves, am I receiving him well? Because the gift of Jesus wasn't a one-time gift in a manger some 2,000 years ago that we look back now as a memory and celebrate. But he's a gift that God still gives today, where God continually offers himself to you and I, to all who would receive him at any moment. And so this Christmas, my hope is that that's what we'll begin to ask. How am I receiving Jesus? How am I receiving Jesus in my attitudes? How am I receiving his presence right now in my decisions? How am I receiving the life-transforming presence of Jesus in the midst of my worries and my anxieties? How am I receiving him in my marriage, in my mindset, with my kids? How am I receiving him with my hopes and with my fears? That we'd ask, am I receiving him well? Am I receiving him in such a way where I find myself surrendering more and more of my life to his trusted leadership? To the one who loved me and gave himself up for me that had nothing to do with my performance, but simply because of who he is. Am I surrendering more and more of my life to his trusted leadership? Or do I find myself receiving him just enough to know that he's there? Just enough to know that he exists, but not too much that he might interfere with my agenda for my own life. And so the band's going to come out here in a moment, and they're going to play a song. And as they do, that's what I want us to begin to ask and to wrestle through. And for many of us, that question doesn't get resolved tonight, but it's a question that I hope that we carry with us all throughout this season, that we continually find ourselves asking, how am I receiving Jesus? How am I receiving the very miracle of Christmas, where the same God who some 2,000 years ago came to this earth in the flesh as a baby, completely dependent and offered himself to the world, where that very same God offers himself still today to you and to I, to all who would receive his presence. Let's pray. Father, indeed, thank you so much for the gift of your Son, a gift that we did not deserve, a gift that we could never earn. Father, thank you for offering yourself. And Father, I pray that not only at Christmas, but all throughout the year, that we would be challenged to find ways to give to others in a way that always points back to you, that points back to the way that you gave, that you gave of yourself. And Father, I pray that we would be people that reflect your kingdom. And Father, I pray that we would be people that wouldn't be marked simply by how we give, but Father, we would be marked as people who learn to receive well. And that most importantly, we would receive you. Every moment of every day, Father, we would consciously find ourselves aware of our desperate need for your presence in our life, that we would hunger for you relationally. And Father, we would open ourselves up to receive the miracle of Christmas all year round. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. As we wrap up our time together, I want to invite you just to stand with me for a moment. Maybe grab the candle that hopefully you got as you walked in the door. And how we're going to close out is we're just going to sing a couple songs together to close our time out and to celebrate together this Christmas. And my hope is that as we sing these songs, that reality would begin to sink in of receiving this peace that God desires to give us, this anxiety that He desires to relieve us, that we would realize that the miracle of Christmas is that it has nothing to do with my performance, has nothing to do with how good or I am or how many right things I've done or how many wrong things I've done. The miracle of Christmas is that God gave Himself just because of simply who He is. And that we would receive that, and that we would leave here tonight and tomorrow finding ways to celebrate Christmas in such a way that it would point back to the one who gave us so much, who gave us Himself. So as we close our time together, let's sing together these couple songs.
The first snow.